Hey friends, here we are again on A Heart Refined with James for You. We're in chapter 7, y'all. We're turning that corner, coming down to the end of this 10-week series. And I don't know about you, but as I've gone through this, the Lord has opened my heart in so many ways to help me see where I truly need Him. And I'll probably hit some of this during this particular week, but I think as I think more about the attitude of James, the demeanor of James as he's doing this. He's being like assertive, where he's saying, like, y'all pay attention. This is what Jesus came here to exemplify for us, so that we would live out to glorify the kingdom of heaven. But I don't think that James is, I mean, I guess in my time, I thought he was dogmatic and angry and whatever. Again, he is assertive. He is forceful in what he's saying, but I believe it's coming from a very passionate place. Remember, this is a man who didn't believe in Jesus, even though he was his own brother. He didn't believe as Jesus in the Messiah, as the Messiah, until he came across him as the resurrected Christ. I mean, think about that. When we, in our own time, really came to encounter the resurrected Christ, we actually lost our religiosity, if you will, our angry rule following, and we became religious in a different way. That means we religiously followed the love and character of Jesus Christ in its fullness. And so you got to imagine, this is where James is coming from. So anyways, I'm going to break down this week's scripture. We're actually in chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to break it down a little differently, and it'll all come together, I believe, beautifully in the end. So my question first, as we enter this, like, what makes you cry? What actually brings you to your knees in tears, or chokes you up? Maybe not necessarily to your knees, but it gets you. You know, some people it's weddings, others it's funerals, movies. I'll tell you one for me, and that's like these American Idol winners, or, you know, X Factor, or any of those things like that. I don't really watch that stuff, but say it comes up in a feed on social media, or I run across one on YouTube, and I'm always really happy, especially when you have those golden buzzer moments, and I'm like, oh, yes, I'm so happy for you. And I don't know exactly why I go there. Part of that, I guess, is training. My mama, she was one who would cry over those winning moments. And I think it comes down to just wanting people to win, wanting people to experience something really amazing like that. And so anyways, it makes me cry. So then if we go on a deeper level, you know, we obviously cry over things that are of this earth, and that's not bad. It's not bad for us to have a sweetheart over those things, but, and there's the big B-U-T, do we weep over our sin? Because I wonder if we think that it's true that we're often moved by earthly matters like these other things that we're talking about, but somehow and somewhat hardened to our heavenly relationship and responsibilities. You know, I think the fact is we're just prideful. So prideful that we justify our sin and we give ourselves these free passes on our quarrelsome and judgmental spirits. We're consumed with selfishness and pride, and this distracts us from not only our higher priority, but our higher help. Does that make sense? We have a higher priority in Christ, and we're distracted quite often from that. But on a much more basic and special level, is the higher help that has been afforded to us through Jesus. And I think we're so distracted by this world that we're not even seeing that He can do this for us. He can pull us out of this. I think of a couple different verses right here. One, Psalm 119, 17 says, deal generously with your servant so that I might obey your precepts. Well, that deal generously means stand in between me and myself. And I don't think we call on that higher help. This is Jesus standing in the gap for us. And we just sort of say, well, this is just who I am. or this is just how this world works, so it's okay that I'm distracted. Well, remember, we spoke about already the hindrances that get in the way. That's a really big word. It may not be just full-blown sin, but if it's a hindrance to your relationship with Jesus Christ, whether it be food, whether it be entertainment, whether it be relationship, whatever it is, it's getting in the way, and it needs to be made or taken captive and made obedient to Christ. Another verse is Psalm 10:4, and it says, in his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. As I think about that verse, I don't like that. I don't like that taste on my tongue, that there could be a place in my life where there's no room for God. But if we go back to that Psalm 119:17, we see that he very quickly makes himself available. So if we call on that higher help, we're going to be able to move out of that destructive, distracted place with these hindrances. Okay, so let's go on. Let's read all 12 verses, starting in verse 1 through 12 in chapter 4. And let's get our feet wet on what we're really going to be talking about this week. As it goes, what is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? You desire and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that your friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. Or do you think it's without reason that the scripture says the spirit he made to dwell in us envies intensely? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Don't criticize one another, brothers and sisters. Anyone who defames or judges a fellow believer defames and judges the law. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Okay, as with every week, there's a lot packed in there. As we sort of already see, it's what we see James's tendency to squirrel. Now, we understand as we learn more about James, it's not squirreling at all. It's all tied together. And if you really read through and learn more, he's tying very specific points together. But in order to sort of clarify from my cluttered brain, I'm going to come back and bunch up some of these verses in a little bit different order. And so we're going to start back at verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to jump to 11 and 12. You'll see where I'm going with that. And by the way, I'm about to read some of the same verses I just read. I want to encourage you to realize that repetitious reading, repetitious recitation of God's word helps write it on your heart. Don't get so proud in your spirit that you think, I've read that before, I don't need to read that again. Yes, you do. Because there's something that the Lord is speaking into your heart in that particular season. Read it over and over and over again. Come back day after day and preach it into your spirit. Because, like I said, there's something he's wanting to say. So anyways, 1 and 2 and 11 and 12. What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? You desire and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. Now, dropping down to 11. Don't criticize one another, brothers and sisters. Anyone who defames or judges a fellow believer defames and judges the law. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Now, I'm about to have to wrap it up for today's episode, but if you notice here, these are the first verses and the last verses of this section, and I feel like what James has done is sort of sandwich in the instruction on what to do and what not to do. These verses have to do with pride in relationships, and I think most of us know that there is a consistent war with somebody in our life, or even in a number of people in our lives. And so it's very important that we recognize what Jesus would be asking us to do. And James is pointing this out. And so I'm going to read this last little snippet here. And this is actually from the James for You book. And this will put a cherry on top of today, and then we'll move on. It says, James invites his readers to cast their minds back to some recent conflict. What happened? Why did it take place? If there is a conflict that seems to keep reoccurring, why does it do so? What is going on? When we think of times when things have flared up with someone else, our instinct often is to answer with this other party. Our instinct often is to answer James's question in a particular way. What is the cause of a fight or quarrel with this other party? They are. If they weren't so unreasonable or demanding, or if they were more thoughtful and considerate, then there would be no problem. The answer seems obvious. Other people are to blame for our conflicts. Oh boy. I think that's a common answer for most of us. We're going to be digging more into that tomorrow on episode 26 of James for You by Sam Alberry here on A Heart Refined. Talk to you soon. Bye.